You're listening to the Parkway Podcast.
As Christians, hypocrisy is never the mark that we want to wear. We cannot put a standard onto others that we do not even hold ourselves to. We are called to follow the standard that Jesus already set and reflect that to those around us so that they may follow as well.
Hi, this episode is from our prayer and worship nights. We gather every Sunday night at 5 p.m. for a deeper and intense style service. Each Sunday night features a new worship team and a speaker from various ministries here at Parkway. The service ends with a time of intentional prayer as we respond to God's word, pray for our community, and pray for one another. If you missed a service, you can catch up on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, YouTube Podcasts, or online at parkwaycc.com/sermons.
We have a New York bestseller coming to speak tonight. Yeah. Come on up. I want to pray for you first, but Elise, thank you. Holy cow. So she was in youth group when I was a youth pastor, and it's crazy to think, like, you're playing piano now? Like, who knew? Like, what? That's awesome. So Ayla was also in youth group. This is cool as a youth pastor to, like, see, like, all these kids growing up. God's doing stuff. Mm-hmm. So let me pray for you.
Okay.
God, I thank you for Ayla. God, I thank you for your word and that, God, like I said, it's living and active, God. So you do what only you can do. Use Ayla's words to bring you glory. In your name, amen.
Thank you. Yeah. Is this on? Okay, cool. Hi, my name's Ayla. If I haven't got the opportunity of meeting you yet, I just wanted to do a little quick introduction because you might be thinking, like, who is she and why is she up here? But my name's Ayla. I'm an intern here at Parkway. I've been coming to Parkway since I was, like, 8 years old, and now I get the privilege of working for the church and serving the church. And so I know a lot of us think that all interns do. We just, like, stack chairs and run around with youth students every single week, but we do those things, but we do a little bit more than that. And one of the really cool things that we have the opportunity of doing is taking Bible college classes. A couple months ago, we took a Bible college class with Pastor Kent. He's not here, but he was our teacher. And it's called Introduction to Homiletics. If you don't know what homiletics is, it's okay. I didn't either. Homiletics is basically the study of sermon writing and sermon speaking. And so for that class, Pastor Kent had us all write a sermon. And then at the end of the class, our final project was to present that in front of a group of people. And we were graded on it and everything. And so I wrote a sermon that I wanted to share with you guys tonight. I originally was going to speak on something different in that class. And the Holy Spirit, during my devotional time, actually, I was reading this passage, a passage I've read 100 times, and he illuminated something new to me, and I was like, okay, I have to write a sermon about this. And so I shared it, and after I shared it, I still felt like it was for more than the people who were in the room. I felt like it was something that he wanted me to share with more than just the group of people who were evaluating us. And the very next day, Crystal actually texted me and was like, hey, would you like to come and speak and share your sermon on a Sunday night? And I was like, yeah, of course. So I was super excited to do it, and then I ended up getting strep throat. And so I was not able to do it, but it worked out so that I'll be able to do it tonight. So that's just basically, I just wanted to kind of intro that. But that's what I'm going to be talking about tonight. I just really felt like the Lord has put this word on my heart for several months, and I just really feel like it's something that he wants me to share with our church. Before I get started, I just want to pray. Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity that you've given me to come and proclaim this message to your people. I just ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just anoint me, Lord, and that everyone's hearts would just be softened to hear what you're trying to speak to them. I pray that your word would just go forth in power and that you would just do what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm going to be reading out of Luke 5:37 through 39. That'll be the main passage if you guys want to turn there in your Bibles. Luke 5:37 through 39 reads, "And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skins, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for they say the old is better. So to put this story into context, we start in Luke 5:33. The Pharisees came to Jesus, and they tried to claim that Jesus' disciples were not as spiritual as their disciples because they weren't fasting and praying at the same times that the Pharisees' disciples were. They were trying to challenge Jesus, but because he knew what he was doing and he knew that his disciples were honoring the Lord, he in turn illustrated this parable to correct them. He was critiquing them for their legalism and for living in old tradition when his purpose was to bring something new. So when I first studied this scripture, it didn't exactly make sense to me, the concept of new and old wineskins, because I don't know about you, but I've never made wine before. And so I didn't really know what a wineskin even was. But after some research, I learned that wineskins are the tan skins from a goat. And the process of winemaking is after, so they have the grapes and they crush them. And after the grapes are crushed, they're strained, and then the gas or the juice is poured into the wineskins to ferment. And after the gases from the fermentation process expand, they cause the new wines or the wineskins to expand as well. Sorry. And so if the new wine was poured into old wineskins, the old wineskins would burst because they were already stretched to their max capacity. So the message that Jesus is teaching in this parable is that he came to bring new wine. He did not come to fit into the old, but he came to bring something new. And because he wanted newness, that meant that the old had to die. So I believe that there are three main ideas illustrated by this parable to teach us believers what it means to be people of new wine. Point one, everyone say point one. We need repentance to be holy before the Lord, not religion. Matthew 23:2-4 says, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them." The Pharisees instructed their people to be righteous under the law. However, they did not practice what they preached. They did not meet the standards that they were holding others to and expecting their people to rise to. As Christians, hypocrisy is never the mark that we want to wear. We cannot put a standard onto others that we do not even hold ourselves to. We are called to follow the standard that Jesus already set and reflect that to those around us so that they may follow as well. Romans 4:13-14 says, "It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing, and the promise is worthless." Our religion is not what saves us. Following the law is not what makes us righteous before the Lord. Don't hear what I'm not saying. Religion is not inherently a bad thing. The law, it makes us aware of our sin, but it is not what saves us. Having a repentant heart and putting our faith into Jesus Christ is what saves us. Religion is not, like I said, it's not inherently a bad thing. But what is not right is misinterpreting God's word and then creating laws, practices, and traditions that are man-made and not spirit-breathed. If it is not in God's will, then it is not for us. God's will for us is to love him and seek him daily, not because we have to, but because we want to. Holiness comes when we are filled by the Spirit and live in repentance and seek daily to be transformed so that when others see us, they see Jesus. Living like Jesus lived is what makes us holy. Putting our faith into him is what makes us holy. Our legalistic spirit is not. Everyone say point two. Louder. Okay. Live in the new, not the old. Luke 9:62 says, Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Jesus came to establish a new kingdom and a new covenant. He does not want us to dwell on the past, but look to our future and be transformed by the new work he is doing in and around us. To serve his kingdom well, we must have our eyes fixed on him. And where is he going? He's going forward. It can get really easy to want to live comfortably because change is difficult. Amen. So I remember when I was a kid, I was incredibly dramatic. And one of the most devastating cycles in my life was when summer was ending and school was starting back up. Because that meant that a stricter and an earlier bedtime was being enforced. I couldn't have sleepovers with my friends on the weekdays. I couldn't stay up late watch movies, and I wasn't allowed to sleep anymore, and it was just absolutely terrible. And I remember that transition was always so difficult during the first few weeks, no matter how many years I'd gone through it, because I got so used to a specific lifestyle that when it was time to change, it was hard. Sometimes the old is comfortable, and it feels safe, and we get used to it. But just because something is comfortable does not mean it's a part of God's plan for us. I'll say that again. Just because something is comfortable and it feels safe does not mean it is a part of God's plan for us. The Pharisees got so hyperfixated on the old law and the old covenant that they did not even recognize Jesus as the promised Messiah they had been waiting for. The Pharisees were only looking back and living in their comfortability. Don't allow yourself to get too comfortable. God is a God of refreshment and newness. He wants to bring us to new places. So keep your eyes forward on him. Everyone say point three.
Point three.
Point three. All right. The process is crushing, but the product is sweet. So I already discussed how to make wine. We got that lesson. And we know that the process of making wine comes first by crushing grapes. And after the entire process, the grapes are transformed and the product that is left is sweet wine. This concept of a difficult process transforming into something sweeter reminds me a lot of the story of Job. Who knows Job? Good job. You went to Bible study. Okay, so Job was a very blessed man. He had a lot of wealth and land and livestock and animals and a large family. Job was very faithful to the Lord, and because of this, Satan wanted to test him because he believed that Job was only faithful because he was wealthy. But God knew that Job was faithful because he had been transformed by him and because he loved him. Everything Job had was lost. His wealth, land, animals, and children. And even though all of this was lost, Job remained faithful, and because he went through this process relying on God for strength, the Lord blessed him even more than he was before. Job 42:12-13 says, "The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters." Like Job, we have to endure the process so the product of our lives can bear fruit. Job experienced the crushing, but God made the product of his life much sweeter. Even Jesus himself had to go through a devastating process. And this process led to the sweetest thing that we'll ever know. Our salvation and the opportunity for a relationship with Jesus. If he could not escape the process, then we can expect it to. Oftentimes, we can feel like grapes, and the trials we're facing can feel crushing and squeezing, but God works in that process to bring new life. Allowing the old to die can feel crushing and uncomfortable, but God uses that for our good and for his glory every single time. Jesus does not want us to thrive or just survive in that process, but he wants us to thrive. He wants us to put our hope and our faith in him and allow him to transform us to look more like him. So about a year and a half ago, my family went through a very difficult season. We were enduring a lot of spiritual attacks, and everything was flipped upside down pretty quickly. At one point, me and my siblings weren't able to live at home anymore, and my little sister was separated from us, and me and my brother Dawson ended up having to move in with Pastor Brooke and Jay for a good amount of time. And we weren't really sure if anything would ever be the same again. It was very painful, and it was very trying. And something that has stuck with me since that season was a night kind of like this one. We used to call them leadership nights, but it was a night just like this where Pastor Brooke called me up. I was not planning on coming, and she was like, "Hey, are you on your way?" And I was like, "Yep, I'm on my way." And so I came. I wasn't expecting much. Honestly, it was one of those seasons where I kind of just was on autopilot, didn't really want to have to be around a lot of people because I was getting a lot of questions and a lot of attention, and it just felt really uncomfortable. But I came, and I'm so glad I did, because in the middle of service, Pastor Jay stopped us, and he asked everyone to surround me and my younger brother Dawson and pray for us. And that night, Pastor Kylie, she prayed over me, and she gave me a word from the Lord. And she said that the Lord was telling her that the person you will become after this is going to be so much stronger and so much better because of all the struggle you're enduring right now. I'm sure everyone in this room can attest to the fact that life is hard, and we all go through hardships and adversity. And even sometimes following the will of God can be challenging. But the Lord wants us to understand that in the pressing, in the crushing, in the waiting, in the stirring, in the pouring, he is making new wine. We must be like the new wineskin. We cannot lose our room for growth. We cannot get too comfortable. We have to allow the Lord to make us new by the power of Jesus Christ. And if you allow God to move in that discomfort or pain, your life will be so much sweeter, and your character will reflect so much more of Jesus. So if Elise, I wasn't gonna go long tonight. Elise, if you wanna come back up. So just as Jesus challenged the Pharisees and the disciples of John with this parable, I believe he's also challenging us right now. He wants us to live a lifestyle of repentance. We must focus on the new things God is doing and the new life he's given us through Jesus. We must not be discouraged when the sanctification process becomes difficult, but we must have peace knowing that God is working for our good. So tonight I just felt like the Lord just wanted me to give some time for us to spend with him. I feel like those three different points we had, I feel like he was trying to speak to some people, and maybe you feel like you fall into one of those three categories, whether you feel like you're really struggling to understand having a heart of repentance and not getting caught up in, religious practices and rituals and things like that. Or maybe you're somebody who is struggling to live in the new that God has brought, and to let go of the past. And whether that's you might have some people you need to forgive, you might have some old things that you're hanging on to, but I feel like the Lord just wanted me to encourage those people that he wants to just spend a moment with you tonight. Or whether you're in that third category, that third point, you're going through that crushing process, and you are just, it's just really rough for you right now, and you're just feeling like, you know, you just need something. You need some sort of hope. You need some sort of peace. You just need a moment with the Lord. I feel like the Lord has just a moment for you tonight. And so I just wanted to invite us to have some altar time tonight. So if you feel like, hey, that's me, like I'm really, you know, struggling with one of those things, or maybe it's all three of those things. I know for me in my life there's been different points I've struggled in each of those different areas. And so if you feel like that's you, I just feel like the Lord wanted to encourage us tonight to spend some time with him. And so however that looks, if that's, you know, turning your chair into an altar or standing around across the room, whatever that looks like for you, I just feel like the Lord wanted to encourage us to spend some time with him and to just leave those things at his feet and allow him to transform us, because he wants us to be people of new wine. He came to bring something new, and he has that for you tonight. And so, if you guys just want to, I'm going to pray. And then if you guys just want to take some time and spend that with him, however that looks like for you. So, dear Jesus, I just thank you for this opportunity that you've given me, Lord, to just share this. Lord, I just ask that you would just spend a moment tonight with each and every one of us, Lord, whether we're struggling with any of those three things or whether we just want to spend some time with you, Lord. I just ask, Lord, that you would just encourage our hearts to move closer to you, because you've already done the work to move closer to us. So, Lord, I just pray that everyone in this room would just be encouraged tonight to just spend some time with you, Lord, and to leave those things down at your feet so that they too can be people of new wine. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's a good word. New wineskins. Old wineskins become dry and they become brittle. I know, because I was Googling it while you were mentioning that. I'm like, why? I wanted to know. But when the new wine that God pours into us, you see, it begins to go to work. It begins to, in real life, it ferments. It produces, it off-gases. It creates something. Something is created out of it. And if the container cannot contain it, then all would be lost. And that's why we say, Lord, fill us with a new wine. But when we say that, make sure we say that with a reverence, understanding that, Lord, we need to be ready to be filled with a new wine. Amen? Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you ask for. And I just will tell you this as well. Pastor Seth had said that, you know, Ayla was in his youth group, and you were in his youth group. Before that, they were in my children's church. I've seen them longer. I'm so proud of our young people. And we as a church, we should celebrate, because there are churches out there that struggle to produce one decent young soul that is trying to win the kingdom, and we have a church filled with them, amen? I continue to believe with all my heart with Pastor Jason's message. This is the year, the decade, the harvest season that we will see like we've never seen before, and you reassure that to us. I didn't know Jacob when he was a little boy, but you would be exactly who would have been going up through our kids' ministries, exactly, running around with these folks. You're doing the same thing. The seeds are being produced. The roots are being watered. It goes down deep, and I'm so proud. And I'm just so excited about what God's got in store for this church. Can you imagine? And I would say, sit back and watch, but that's not what God wants us to do. We're being told not to sit back and watch. We're told to pick up the line and tow it. Pick up the line and tow it, amen? So we're going to see some amazing things. But Ayla, I thank you for bringing the word tonight so much. I thank you as well. You're stinking talented, guitar, piano, singing, and a baby maker. She's multitasking at its finest. We are blessed. Amen. Let me pray over you this evening, shall I? Father, we just thank you, and our hearts are full. But Lord God, we pray that you will help us, that we would be just receive all that you have for us, and that we would be an open vessel, just ready to receive. Pour into us, Lord God, a new wine. But as a vessel, Lord God, that we would find ourselves ready to receive out of the abundance of what you have for us, Lord, for this dark and dying world, that we would be bearers of light, of truth, of love, of hope. Lord God, that we would speak to our community and let them know that we love them, but greater still, you love them. Give us a burden that burns, Lord God, that we will it burns with a great passion inside of us, Father. And the spurring on of your word and of your message and in the worship times, I pray for a higher intensity in all levels and all things, Lord God, that come in the celebration of you. We pray those things. We ask for those things. Keep everyone in a safe journey as they return back home this evening. I thank you, Father, Lord God. And again, we come finally word of knowledge that Pastor Seth, whoever that woman that's related around the number 23, we don't know, God, but you do. And we will continue to pray, Lord, let your will be done there. Let your will be done and let their lies flourish, Lord God, well beyond, and separate them from whatever the lie is that is they're telling themselves, and that the truth will be painting, Lord God, on their heart. We give you praise for all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen, amen. Lord bless you guys. Thanks for being here. Make sure you hug on these young people.